Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. As always, this week we are doubling down on mobility, automation, and the future of how we get ourselves and our stuff from one place to another. In addition to the economics of mobility and efficiencies around it, which is definitely pointed out in recent research from McKinsey, linked to it in the show notes, there is the matter of the systems that allow for increased mobility, not just the software and hardware for self-driving cars and trucks, though that's obviously critical, but also the roads themselves. For that matter, a lot of our future mobility lies in stuff that does not move. Conveyances of all stripes, when they're not in use, are parked at a curb, for instance.
Everything around us has sensing electronic wireless capabilities. And so that gives us an opportunity to really start to manage our transportation system in a very different way because of all the computing power and algorithms that are operating behind the scenes in our cars and on our phones.
That's Dr. Susan Shaheen. She's this week's guest. She's a professor and director of mobility projects at UC Berkeley. So let's get into the discussion.
Susan Shaheen. I'm co-director of the Transportation Sustainability Research Center at University of California, Berkeley, and also a member of the faculty in civil and environmental engineering.
That's right. And you also frequently testify on Capitol Hill about mobility issues and sustainability issues as well. I emailed you because I had McKinsey on recently to talk about mobility and their new study called the Second Inflection Point. They're kind of leaning on the origination and implementation of automobiles in the United States around the turn of last century. And they're saying in their report that we're coming up on the second inflection point, which is your swing zone. This has been your area of study for so long. Okay. In order to keep things literally on track, let's start with the cars today. I recently saw that software coding within a high-end luxury vehicle is seven times larger than in a Boeing 787. And I imagine that all that data collection and all of that technology is something that feeds into the progress that you are kind of stewarding in a lot of ways at Berkeley. Am I right?
Right. Well, cars are definitely getting smarter. Our phones are smart. Everything around us has sensing electronic wireless capabilities. And so that gives us an opportunity to really start to manage our transportation system in a very different way because of all the computing power and algorithms that are operating behind the scenes in our cars and on our phones.
Okay. And now one of the sexy aspects to this technology in cars, of course, is autonomous driving. As you and I record today, we're looking at Uber's S1 filing to go public. There's a lot of R&D cost that goes into there. Some investors are worried about that. You've got Waymo. You've got all these private public companies shooting for the autonomous driving. Where does your effort sit with that?
So we are very interested in automation. We're interested in it because, first and foremost, it can really help reduce traffic fatalities. You know, we're at around 40,000 a year in the United States, and we know that with automation, we can definitely lessen the impacts of conflicts between road users, right? Mm-hmm. And there's different levels of automation, Jason. There's not just full-on, I'm always automated self-driving cars. There's multiple layers of automation, and there's a lot of automation already in our cars today, like cruise control, automated braking systems, as well as merge assist, these types of technologies. So our work is definitely interested in the relationship between all road users, like bike, pedestrians, right, alongside automation. And the other thing that we're really focused on is if we're going to have full-on, all-the-time automated vehicles, we really need to think about the implications for our roads today in terms of the flow. So if you make it really easy and cheap for people to travel, it's going to induce demand. It's going to cause more demand. So one of the things that we've been working on for two decades is figuring out how to get people to share, either share concurrently or share sequentially. So that means in a concurrent trip, you and I are in the same vehicle. Mm-hmm. In a sequential trip, I hand off a vehicle to you, and maybe we don't even have to own cars anymore. And so a lot of our work is converging with this automation concept around the idea of coupling sharing with automation to tame the demand for those auto miles.
Right. Okay. I want to get to road and infrastructure. You mentioned roads there in a second, but I realize I'm being a little naive when I come at it with just the car angle. Of course, we're talking about buses, mass transit, other aspects of mobility as well, right?
Yes, yes. I mean, there's even people talking about automation on bikes to help with redistribution in bike sharing systems.
So would you, okay.
Or scooters.
I'm trying to imagine. I've spoken with other experts as well about, like, the idea of car ownership could go away. Maybe not 100%. Maybe I still want to have my Alfa Romeo for the weekends. But largely, you know, it'll be pools of on-demand kind of a situation. Is that what I'm envisioning? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, that's definitely what we're talking about here. Okay. You know, our work has really been focused on if we could create, through all this IT, electronic wireless communication systems, a more efficient transportation system, does car ownership have to be the dominant paradigm? Can we make it so that you get access to a vehicle when you need it and you don't have to get stuck with the fixed cost of auto ownership and you turn everything into a variable cost so people actually see the cost per trip? And we hypothesize that when people see the cost per trip, they may start being multimodal. They may walk more. They might bike more. They might decide not to take a trip because it's really expensive at a particular time of day.
That's fascinating. Okay, I'm processing for a second because I like that future. I like the way that future sounds. But what challenges do you see when it comes to infrastructure and specifically roads, really, and maybe smart sensors that need to be in place for this network to really be as effective and efficient as you're aiming for?
Right. So there's so many challenges to transition to a fully automated world. You know, one of the first things that pops out to me to discuss is the fact that a lot of these cars are not going to be automated on our roads. And so how does an automated vehicle interact with human drivers?
Right.
And so that transition to a fully automated world is going to have to go through multiple layers of interacting with unautomated types of mobility. And so that's going to present major obstacles. We also need to think about management of curb space. If everything sort of becomes on demand, if you own it or if you share it, you need access to that curb.
Right.
And right now, what's in front of the curb is a lot of parking. So are we going to start to remove on-street parking? And then what are going to be the operational rules or management of the curb itself? I'm sure you've seen the demand for services like Uber and Lyft in dense city areas. Mm-hmm. And there's simply not enough curb space in some areas of a city to accommodate pickup and drop-off at the rates that could be demanded in a fully automated world. So really rethinking, what does the street look like? So how do we plan the street? And then how do we operate the curb in the future?
It's fascinating because also you have, or at least right now, you have a lot of that curb space taken up by rideshare bikes and scooters as well.
Right. And so what there's a lot of discussion going on in the transportation world is around how much space do we give to the various modes? Do we start to create more dedicated bike or scooter lanes? And what kind of world do we want to live in? Mm-hmm. And is it going to be a fully automated Wally world, or are we going to have a lot more active transportation? And if we want more active transportation, how do we need to invest in that infrastructure and plan for it accordingly?
That's Dr. Susan Shaheen. She's an engineering professor and the Sustainable Transportation and Research Director at UC Berkeley. For links to Dr. Shaheen and her research, please check the podcast notes or the show notes live online at kgoradio.com. Seriously, I want that. I want that iRobot world of self-driving cars. Just looks awesome. Coming up after the break, we continue our discussion with Dr. Susan Shaheen.
our vision at our research center, which focuses on transportation sustainability, is that we get to a place where we have a view of the roads from a more equitable standpoint. So we're moving more people in that road space than just individuals in private cars. And we're prioritizing access to the road and access to the curb based on occupancy level.
That's next, so do please stick around. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.